For the next year, NPR and National Geographic are traveling the globe to find out how the world's climate is changing and how these changes are affecting people. Britain was our starting point, and today we hear about a British-based project called Cape Farewell. It brings artists, writers, musicians, filmmakers, even a choreographer together to think about climate. They go to the Arctic in a 100-year-old Dutch schooner. They mingle with scientists, explore the harsh but beautiful environment, and in some cases create works of art out of ice and snow. Three voyages later, there are several exhibitions, plus a book, a dance, and a BBC documentary. The idea behind the project is that art can deepen our understanding of climate change, as NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
When artist and photographer David Buckland first began pitching his proposal to take a voyage to the Arctic with a bunch of artists, the response was underwhelming.
9 years ago, everybody looked at me like I was mad. So it was difficult. It was incredibly difficult.
But Buckland had been talking with scientists about global warming, and he was convinced they needed help in communicating what they knew about the way the world's climate was changing. Now, after three voyages to the Arctic, Buckland believes the artists have lived up to his expectations.
The problem with the science is that they make these, you know, the Greenland ice cap's going to melt, or, you know, the water sea level rise is going to rise so much, or the temperatures. They're very abstract concepts. And I think what the artist did was to find a way of making the stories personal. So that if, you know, if you are you and you're perceiving a glacier crumbling in front of you, then it's your story. That's your personal story you bring back.
A BBC documentary about Cape Farewell details the voyages to the waters off Spitsbergen Island, north of Norway. The film follows the artists as they confront a landscape that is at once overwhelming and exhilarating. And for each artist, the experience is different. Sound artist Max Eastley spent his time listening.
The sound of the waves. The sound of the wind. The sound of the bird. Sounds of ice.
For sculptor Anthony Gormley and architect Peter Clegg, the experience was more hands-on as they used the ice and snow to sculpt and build.
Okay. Then I think we do our thawing technique, yeah?
Yeah.
Friction bonding, yeah. Isn't it?
Writer Ian McEwan spent much of his time observing, leading to a fuller understanding of what could be lost in the future.
Seeing caribou across a great distance. When we got thirsty, to be able to just scoop up the snow into our cups and pour hot water onto it and trust the purity of the snow. Simple things like the music of ice and snow under your boots.
Some artists, like choreographer Siobhan Davies, weren't sure what they were supposed to do. On Davies' expedition, the boat that would be her home in the Arctic was iced in.
So we had spent nearly 7 hours on a snow scooter with no part of your skin at all being exposed. By the time I take all my clothes off, which takes about 20 minutes, and I get into the boat and I'm contemplating, so what the hell are you going to do tomorrow? I can't even move here.
But a dancer must move. So Davies decided what she needed to do was to walk.
To go out, even though it was uncomfortable, and to begin to appreciate this very, very different land.
What did you discover about movement?
That it was difficult. I had to find the necessary movement to do there, partly because it was the only thing I could do, partly it was going to keep me warm, and partly it needed to evolve the idea of the human scale in that vast landscape.
Sculptor and photographer Alex Hartley, an outdoorsman and adventurer, came up with a playful notion that would illustrate the way human beings historically related to newly discovered land. In this case, land that had been covered by ice for centuries.
I wanted to find the most pathetic bit of rock that I could stand on and try and push through a claim of an island. So I started looking everywhere on the maps, comparing the glacial retreat on the maps with what we were seeing.
The BBC documentary recorded the moment Hartley discovered his island.
I'm going to walk the perimeter, I think, on my island in gear. Take a couple of I'll take the photos like this. How many shots have I got? I've got, yeah, so just have one on each of the sort of peaks and I'll work it out. Yeah? My first island descent,
Eventually, Hartley hopes to publish a book on his experience. He is pursuing his claim on the island and has even accepted architectural bids for a structure to be built on his rocky spit of land.
They vary from kind of beachfront properties to hermits' hideaways. I like the idea that I could cast out to lots of other people, open the project up to whoever wants to put stuff into it.
Hartley says there was tension at times between those who felt compelled to create works of art during their stay in the Arctic and those who wanted to take in the environment more slowly, planting seeds for work that would come later. And there was also some soul-searching about whether the project itself was just one more example of the way people use up the environment. But ultimately, says choreographer Siobhan Davies, there was a real sense that artists can bring something to the discussion about climate change that no one else can.
The scientists, quite rightly, have to bring the facts. But we are allowed and should be able to play with the human spirit, the human mind and the human emotion. So maybe we are in a position whereby we can open the door to understanding, appreciating, and using our inventiveness about what can be done in order to deal with this problem rather than what can't be done.
Cape Farewell is a continuing project. The next voyage is scheduled for September and will include both young people and some American artists. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.